In the Word of God, we find a number of what we call dichotomies. We have, for example, abundance and want, blessing and afflictions, comfort and misery, contentment, disappointment, emptiness, fullness, faith, unbelief, hope, despair, humility, pride, joy, sorrow, liberality, covetousness, love, hatred, obedience, disobedience, remembrance, forgetfulness, reward, punishment, righteousness, wickedness, salvation, condemnation. But there's one that I want us to look at this evening, and that is light and darkness. Now, amazingly, this dichotomy initially appeared in the very first chapter of the Bible. Genesis, of course, chapter 1, which tells us of its importance. If it appears in the first chapter of the Bible, that should say something to us. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, Moses said, "And the earth was without form and void," meaning it was formless, it was empty. Certainly the world was not in a good state. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. By the way, these all go together. Formlessness, emptiness, darkness. But this foreboding and fearful picture of the original state of the visible creation was relieved by the divine announcement that the mighty Spirit of God was about to act. And act he did, for verse 2 tells us he moved upon the face of the waters. Now the word moved has the idea of hover. So like a bird that provides, as it hovers over the nest and provides for and protects its young, the Holy Spirit hovered over this world. And verse 3 tells us what his hovering brought forth. God said, "Let there be light." Let there be light, and there was light. I think it's significant that God's first creative word called forth light. He called forth light in the midst of this primeval darkness, evil. Now, this light was not the sun. If you know anything, if you remember your days of creation, the sun, the moon, the stars were created on the fourth day. Rather, it was some fixed light source outside the earth through which the rotating earth passed through a day and night cycle. Now we ask from nature's perspective, why did the triune God, why did Elohim initially call forth light? Well, because light is necessary for making God's creative works visible and life possible. If you don't have light, you don't have life. Without light, we would have no food, no food to eat or air to breathe. For green plants use the light from the sun to grow and to make food. Remember, all the food we eat comes from plants and animals who eat plants. And as plants grow, they give off oxygen. And this oxygen is a necessary part of the air which we breathe. And light from the sun heats the earth. Even if we burned all the fuels, all the fossil fuels we could find, we could not keep the earth warm enough for life to exist. And so how important light is from nature's perspective. It provides green plants, it provides oxygen, it provides food, it provides warmth, it enables life. But I must quickly add how important light is from a spiritual perspective. And let me explain this reality. Darkness, spiritually speaking, is portrayed as the experience of the wicked. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil," their deeds are wicked. Matthew 6:23, "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness." Sin and darkness, sin and evil, go together. Proverbs 4:19, "The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble." Now, since the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none that doeth good, that there is no one that is righteous, then we must conclude that all of us are born in darkness. Just as the earth was born in darkness, so are we. Just as the earth, this formless, void earth, needed light, so do we. For because of sin, our dark hearts too are formless and void. And if we are going to see form and filling, if we are going to experience life, like nature, light must pierce our dark hearts. Without light, your life is formless and void. But we ask, well, how can we who are born in sin, born under this darkness of condemnation, see light? Isaiah 59:10 says, "Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like men without eyes." If you don't have eyes, you can't see light. Well, there is a verse in Isaiah 9, verse 2 that says this, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." I want us to briefly see the hope we have to see this light, to experience this light, to have this light dispel the darkness in our hearts, to give us the very life of God. Now, the verse of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 9 finds its fulfillment in the ministry of Christ as recorded in Matthew chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 4, let me read beginning with verse 12 of this fourth chapter. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What we have here are 3 points. We have the people, number 2, their plight, and number 3, light's presence. I want us to notice first the people. The people referenced here occupy the region of Galilee. Capernaum, mentioned here in verse 13, is located on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. Zebulun and Naphtali, also mentioned in verse 13, were tribal areas on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. According to Josephus, the Galileans were ever fond of innovations and by nature disposed to changes. They delighted in seditions, meaning they were ready to follow a leader, to begin an insurrection. They were notoriously quick-tempered and given to quarreling, yet without they were the most chivalrous of men. The Galileans, continued Josephus, have never been destitute of courage. Cowardice was never a characteristic of the Galileans. They were ever more anxious for honor than for gain, which all tells us with the Galileans, what you see is what you get. But the prophet said of these Galileans that they walked in darkness. They dwelt in the land of the shadow of death. And I say, what a sad plight, which is point number two. These people were represented as walking in darkness because they were far from Jerusalem and the temple. They had few religious privileges. They were intermingled with heathen, and Galilee was literally surrounded by the Gentiles. The Phoenicians to the west, the Syrians to the north and east, the Samaritans to the south. And so Galilee was the one part of Israel that was inevitably in touch with non-Jewish, godless influences and ideas, which certainly speaks of darkness. And so because of their uncultivated Jewish manners and language, it was said by non-Galilean Jews, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And so these Galileans, spiritually speaking, did live in darkness. And wherever there is darkness, there will be death, which carries the idea of a long and chilling shade cast over the land, standing between the land and light, and thus bringing to pass ignorance, misery, calamity, and ultimately damnation. I say, what a sad plight these Galilean people were experiencing. But praise God, it was to such people that Christ, think about this, that Christ began his ministry. It was there that Christ first announced his mission. Following, if you read the earlier verses of this chapter, following his temptations in the wilderness by Satan, talk about darkness. We read in verse 12, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. He went from the wilderness to Galilee. Which brings us to our last point, which is what a presence he was for the gospel message of Christ come, for with the gospel message of Christ comes light, comes life. Meaning when the light of this glorious good news of Christ shines in our hearts, it turns our dark, formless, and void souls into the light of day. It gives us spiritual form and filling, for after all, Christ said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. You don't want to abide in darkness. And so Christ says, when you believe on me, you no longer abide in darkness. Earlier, Christ said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to have life, you have to have light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so to have life, you must have light, and Jesus is that light. In John chapter 9, verse 5, Christ declared, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But continuing, all that is ours, when this glorious divine light shines into our hearts, is amazing. For light in Scripture is an emblem of knowledge. It is the embodiment of righteousness and godliness. It is further the source of joy and rejoicing and deliverance. You want this light of life. And so praise God, the day spring from on high not only visited the people of Galilee, it has visited us to give us light, to give to us light who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. I love how Peter describes Christians as chosen, a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, or people set apart for God, that we should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I say, what a contrast that is to our formless, empty lives when we walked in darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, think this through. When the light of Christ shines in our hearts, we become a chosen generation. That doesn't sound formless and void to me. We become a royal priesthood. That doesn't sound formless and void to me. We become a holy nation. That doesn't sound formless and void to me. We become a wonderful people. And it's all because the light of Jesus has shined His life into our hearts. Wow. And so again, it was to these Galilean people, walking in darkness, dwelling in the land of the shadow of death, that Christ, the light of life, came. And what a great light He was. For John says of Christ, He was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into this world. And what was Christ's message of hope that would bring light to darkness, life to death? Well, look at it. It's verse 17 of Matthew chapter 4. He says, "Repent." And what does that mean? It means turn from your sins. Turn from your spiritual darkness. Why walk in darkness when you have the opportunity to turn from that darkness for the kingdom of heaven? The true light which lighteth the world is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's Christ's message to you and to me. Again, turn from your own ways. Turn from your darkness. Turn to God. Turn to the light of life. Reverse your direction. Stop walking away from God, away from light, and begin coming towards Him. Confess your sins, for God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And how glad we can be that when, after seeing this great light, that we too can turn from our idols. Turn from the formless and empty darkness of our sinful hearts and believe in and serve the living God personified in the one born some 2,000 years ago in a place called House of Bread, Bethlehem. He was born in a place called the house of bread. And bread, food, comes to pass because of light. How beautiful that is. Christ truly was to the Galileans, and he is to us, our great light. And so I say, come to this light. Don't be like our world before light, formless and void. The light has shined. Come to this great light. No longer sit in darkness. No longer be under the shadow of death. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and light more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Then the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Again, Jesus is the great light for our souls.